Senator, first of all, welcome to the United States.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure again to be able to come and visit the United States and interact with people at different levels. I think it's a blessing.
This is your first visit to the United States in, I think, about 9 or so years.
About 9 years.
You did not come to the United States during these past 9 years because of the United Nations sanctions or travel ban on you and other associates of former President Charles Taylor. So how did you feel when those sanctions or the travel ban was finally lifted?
I just want to thank God. You know, I had been praying about it, asking that God would provide a new opportunity that would enable me to be able to work. And it's not just working at home. We are part of a global village. Everything is intertwined. And if you're out of the system, even if you're doing the best job at home, it still denies you a lot of other opportunities to interact, to network, to get new ideas that can help your country. And so I'm privileged that God opened this special door. And I want to thank, you know, our president who made the special request, and to the government of the United States who actually put the request on the table of the Security Council, for which we have today been removed from sanctions.
Senator Taylor, we heard that you were supposed to travel with President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf during her recent trip to the 67th United Nations General Assembly in New York. Then we heard also that you were removed from the Delta Air flight, or what flight you were supposed to come on, or that the U.S. Embassy in Monrovia did not give you a visa. What is the truth?
Well, none of those stories are true. They applied for a visa for me like they did everyone else. However, my request for granting of the waiver did not come in till the president left. So I was never taken off a plane, you know, or denied a visa. It just is a process that most people go through when you apply for a United States visa. And I think it's just a processing that took a little longer.
You are a senior senator from Bong County, and you've been a senator for how many years now?
7 years.
7 years you've been a senator. And I think also that you have remarried. Is that true?
No, I have not.
You have not remarried?
No, I have not.
Okay, so yet people still call you Mrs. Taylor, and therefore you take that name.
But that's my name. I got married in 1997. I've done all of my postgraduate work and other educational opportunities that I've taken advantage of, and that is my name. I think that name is a trademark, and that's the name I carry still.
Do you have any regrets always being associated with a convicted war criminal?
Of course, there are places where you go and people look at you a little funny. I know as long as I was on the sanctions, I wasn't invited to any of the UN programs in Liberia. It was as if I was a pariah. But I'm just happy to say that that name also carries a lot of positivity, because I worked for the people of my country, and that has enabled me to be the senator you see today. So some people might look at the negative, but I like to look at the positive, what I've done as an individual. And James, you know that the rules of engagement around the world says that people should be judged by the content of their own character and who they are. Somehow there are some prejudices around this name, but I bear it with honor, and I will continue to do that which I must to show that, you know, it's not about the name. It's actually about the individual.
Do you think your former husband, former President Taylor, was rightfully convicted, or do you think, what do you think of the process that convicted him?
James, that is the process that we have. I mean, this is an international law case. I think the process has not yet been completed. There are options for appeal, which I think his lawyers are taking advantage of. And at the end of this appeal process, whatever comes out of it is the rule of law. I'm not a lawyer in that case. I don't know all of the intricate details that got him where he is. All I'm praying for is that, you know, as a result of all of the difficult things Liberia has been through, that we will put the past somehow behind us and continue to work for our country. And for those less privileged young men and women who were disadvantaged as a result of the war, putting in place those systems and measures that will give them a chance of a lifetime so that they can put their lives on track. And I think that is the issue on the table today.
I know you said that you see some positives and negatives in the Taylor name. Do you sometimes wish that you would assume your own identity because you are senator, instead of people always referring to you as Mrs. Taylor?
And I think this will fade away as time goes by. I will always be seen as Senator Taylor. And once you say Taylor, you know, it comes within the good and the bad. But I think in time to come, as I continue to work for the peace and stability of my country, as I continue to work for the empowerment of women and girls, as I continue to make a positive impact on the landscape of Liberia and the international community, I think eventually some of the old prejudices will fade away. And that is a goal that I have, that one day people will be able to see me as Senator Taylor and judge me for the work that I've done and not by the prejudices of things in the past.
You say you will continue to have positive impact on Liberia. Does that mean you have ambition of seeking the presidency, say, in 2017?
My ambition today is to seek re-elections in 2014 and to continue to work for the people of Bong County. That is why I was elected in 2005. It is a tall order. I'm representing, as senior senator, the third largest county in Liberia. We have issues of light and water. We have issues of roads. We have issues of inadequate and poor educational system. We have issues of empowerment of young people. We have issues of creation of jobs. That is a tall order by itself. And really, I've been working in the last 7 years. And if I get reelected, I will continue to work to ensure that the mandate that I've received from the people of Bong County somehow brings to them some benefits for my advocacy. And I'm not looking anywhere else. I don't know what the future holds. But the priorities I have today, James, are predominantly for the people of Bong County.
I want to take you back to the 2011 election, presidential election. There are some in the Congress for Democratic Change who believe that you betrayed them in the runoff election between Councillor Winston Tubman and President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Their argument is that after you promised to support them and even you took money and a car from them, then when time came, you endorsed President Sirleaf in the runoff. Do you have any comment?
And that's not the truth, James, and I'm sorry that they're spreading such false and malicious lies. And I can say this to any of them. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the trend of events that happened in the 2011 elections, we went to the first round, we went into the second round, and then we decided that we were not taking part in the second round. And we asked our people to boycott the elections. I remained with the coalition until the results of the elections were given in the second round. Upon those elections results being given, I announced that congratulations to the president because she had won by the results of the National Election Commission. And then I said to Liberians that we've come through a very difficult process, but that difficult process must never culminate into a crisis or war or destruction, and that I thought we should leave the past where it was and continue to work, for we would have another chance in 6 years. So there was no betrayal here because the results have been counted and tabulated. We had withdrawn from the process. If you say you're not going to get involved in the second round of the elections, you cannot come back later and say, oh, I was cheated. So the fact that the hierarchy of the party on both sides, our party, the National Patriotic Party, CC, took a decision to boycott the second round, we had already given up our right. And so when the National Election Commission said that President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf had won the elections, we had a responsibility to the people of our country since we chose to boycott the elections to continue to work for peace and security for our country. And that is the position that I took, and I still stand by it today.
Senator, you being a senior senator from Bong County, I want you to talk to me about what you think about corruption in the society and this government, President Sirleaf's government's efforts to fight corruption. Do you think this government has done enough, or do you think corruption is there to stay forever in Liberia?
Well, I would hope that it's not there to stay forever. There are serious issues of corruption in our government. A lot of the reports you see, and you know, this is the first time in our country, James, that there is actually an anti-corruption commission. In all of the years of our history, people talked about corruption, but there was no agency clothed with the responsibility to go through the process and say these people have been adjudged, or these people are now being taken to court and they could be adjudged guilty. The GAC, which is the General Auditing Commission, for the first time in our history, is also very active in going through the records and going through the financial records of all aspects of government and coming up with these reports. So this is the first time, and so you will hear a lot of issues of corruption because we now have a system in place that is trying to address those issues. So it seems as if corruption is overwhelming. We know that there are instances of corruption, especially when you look at the reports. But I think it's something that can be worked on. There must be a chance where people are taken to court and given their day in court. And those who are judged guilty must be able to face the weight of the law. But the process of the legal system is a long process. It's not a kangaroo court that you just show up one day and say, okay, you're guilty. The issues of law, the issues of the judiciary, the issues of bringing to book those who have been adjudged guilty, those who have been accused of corruption, it is a process. And sometimes the process seems a little long. I'm hoping that the LACC will get additional support for additional lawyers so that they can go through the process of those who have been accused so that those who are actually guilty can face the weight of the law. It is a process. I think our president is working, and all of us are working in the vein of rule of law to ensure that those things are being done. It seems a little slow, that's all, but I'm sure that with the president's last term and her commitment to the country and to the international community to begin to stamp out corruption, that hopefully these things can be doubled in terms of the time factor so that we can see some real aspects of the rule of law in our country.
You are saying, Senator, that those who have been accused of corruption should be taken to court. You are the senior senator. Do you believe there's any functioning court system in Liberia?
And there is, James. Let's not look at our country as if it's some country in the 1910s. We have a vibrant judiciary because of the requests and the support of the international community. They've trained a lot of new lawyers. They are now transiting in cases of the magisterial courts where people who were placed in those courts had not gone to law school. There are now new requirements so that those who become even magistrates have a law degree. So they're now fielding all of the graduates from the Louis Arthur Grimes School of Law as magistrates. There is a serious training going on with judges and lawyers. And there's a whole process, I think, which is good for our country. So I, as a lawyer, I can tell you that there is the rule of law in our country. But no system is 100%, and we're working on improving ours. But I think I feel good as a lawyer that there is a judiciary system that is functioning. Some people get frustrated because of the time factor. We might need to create new courts. We might need to create an anti-corruption court, for example, that would deal strictly with the issues of corruption instead of waiting for a corruption case to go through the docket like it should be. Because the first cases that enter the court have to be dealt with first. So those cases that are corruption cases might have to wait 2 or 3 years until they get on the docket. So we might have to create new courts. We might have to create new civil law courts because the dockets are just too large and the courts are not as many. So I think this gives us a chance to expand the judiciary in such a way to ensure that there is a fair rule of law system in our country.
You mentioned earlier your part of your job is to make sure that Liberian girls or women, what do you think of the status of women in Liberia now?
The status of women has improved. There is still much that we can do, but because we've actually had the first female president on the African continent, any girl anywhere in Liberia or anywhere in Africa knows now that you can be what you want to be. We must work into providing new systems that will help girls who between the time they're in 7th to 12th grade, you know, most of them drop out of school for teenage pregnancy. We must work on providing mentorship for young girls. I think there's a program in place now where we're trying to build all-girls schools around Liberia so that those vulnerable girls can be taken into those schools and given a chance to really just study and stay away from all of the things that easily distract them. And there's a system in place of trying to enhance the education system, provision of free education, books, and all of those things are now coming online. And I think this gives us a way forward. We're also talking about how do we activate our sexuality as women so that we can begin to work together even more. Because if you have a segment of the population that is more than 50%, whatever they decide is what will happen in the nation if you're going to vote. But the female votes are fragmented in different levels, and we have to find a way that all of us can feel a part of what's happening so that we can determine how our country goes forward. There is still a lot to be done, but I think we've made remarkable progress, and all of us must now join hands to continue to do the work that needs to be done in terms of empowering women and girls in Liberia.
Senator Taylor, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you very much for talking with us on Voice of America.
Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for this unique opportunity.